Part A.
Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Look at the fifth chapter for a moment. Verse 17. On Sunday, we're in a study of teleology, a theological term to describe essential doctrines necessary for spiritual growth momentum in the Christian life. And we're talking about 12 of those doctrines on Sunday. And this concept of teleology is taken from Hebrews 5 and 14 that says, "But solid food is for the mature." That's teleos, that's where you get the idea. And today we're talking about positional truth, and it is our sixth doctrine in this series. So far we've studied grace and dispensation, spirituality, faith, the faith cycle, the will of God, and today positional truth. And if you want to stay current with our study, then you can go to our church website, doctrinalstudies.com, and stay current. And I would recommend that. Positional truth is a very interesting doctrine. Normally, what is called in theology is sanctification. If you go to theology school, they'll not talk about positional truth. Some professors will have come to that understanding, but they'll talk about sanctification theologically. The problem is they miss a very important part, because sanctification deals only with the believer. And in theology, we talk about three forms of sanctification that a believer goes through: salvation, the Christian life, and eternity. And they call it positional sanctification, experiential sanctification, and ultimate. The problem is that there is a key principle to this, and that's the need that people have to be sanctified. And positional truth teaches that man as a sinner, the sinner needs to become a saint, because the word for sanctification is the word holy or saint. So sanctification doesn't deal with the fact that there is a sinner here that's got to be transferred over here to be a saint. Positional truth does. Once you change the concept theologically to a broader idea, then it is that positional truth deals with the person that's a sinner and takes them from status of a sinner into the status of a saint, and there is going to deal with him positionally, experientially, and ultimately. And that's very important, because there's a phrase that we're about to read, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come." See the word "in Christ"? Now, that's very important, because the whole concept of sanctification, new covenant sanctification, which means to be set apart, here's what sanctification, hagiosmos, here's what hagiosmos means, the Greek word for sanctification. It means literally to be set apart unto God's holiness, because hagios is the word for holy, and mos means the action that's required to make you holy, to set you apart. Well, sanctification doesn't deal, it deals with you having been set apart. It doesn't deal with how you get set apart. And so positional truth does. When you teach positional truth, it looks at the whole realm. It's based on the phrase, sanctification is based on the phrase in Adam, in Christ. Now, we're in second, go back one book with me. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll show you. See, you can see the phrase "in Christ" in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That's positional. The word "in Christ" is positional. All right? And sanctification deals with us being in Christ. Positional truth deals with us in a broader state, still with the idea of positional, which means in something. Positional means in something. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Now what you have is you have two different positions. There is a position in Adam, agreed, and there's a position in Christ. That's position, right? The word in means in the sphere of or in position. Positional truth teaches you that all men are born in Adam. And the only way out of Adam and into Christ is through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and raised from the dead the third day. A person is born into this world in Adam. And unless he gets out of Adam and gets into Christ, when he dies, he's not going to go to heaven. He's got to get it, because if you die in Adam, you're going to go to hell. You're under that judgment. So you've got to get out of a position in Adam and into a position in Christ. Now, once you get into Christ through faith in the gospel, you're into sanctification positionally, experientially, and ultimately, ultimate sanctification is going to heaven, to be asked from the body to be present with the Lord. So sanctification is New Covenant theology, but there is a bigger picture to that, because how do you get in Christ when you're born in Adam? Positional truth teaches that you start out in Adam, and through the gospel of Jesus Christ, you become in Christ, and in Christ you're sanctified. Does that make sense to you? Because it's positional. 1 Corinthians 15:22, you start out in Adam, your first birth. First birth, Adam, in Adam. First birth, we're all born, in our first birth, we're in Adam. You've got to be born again. You've got to have a second birth. Second birth's in Christ. Now, if you got that, you got my lesson. Now, I recommend you stick around a little while, but if you've got that, you've got the lesson. I mean, that really is the name of the game. Well, let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about this in detail today. I want to talk today how we get out of Adam and get into Christ positionally. That's called positional truth. It's true that we're all born by first birth in Adam. It's true that we're through second birth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're in Christ. It'll take me probably this Sunday and next Sunday to cover this subject thoroughly for you in the doctrine of positional truth. It's a phenomenal doctrine. This is a phenomenal doctrine, and the Christian needs to understand it, because we're talking about New Covenant sanctification. You can't understand it, in my opinion, unless you look at the big picture. Let's pray. I give you a moment of silence as a believer priest and dwelt by the Holy Spirit. Your privilege to confess sin if necessary, because you are a priest. 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9 says that every believer in the church age is a priest. You have the responsibility to confess sin directly to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Mental attitude sin, sins of the tongue, and overt sin should be confessed before Bible study, so the Holy Spirit can teach you truth, and truth will set you free. Father, we're so thankful today for each person that's here. I pray as we look at the subject of positional truth, we would understand that all men began in Adam. And if they remain there and die, if they have one birth, they will have two deaths. But in Christ, we have two births and one death. And Father, it is important that these here today understand the importance of that. They must, in this lifetime, be removed from in Adam to a position in Christ if they expect to die and go to heaven. They must do that. It must be done volitionally. It must be done through their own soul, through their own volition. They must make that choice. I pray today, Father, that decision would be clear in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so positional truth is going to be a term that we're going to use. Many theologians use it. We're going to use this term to look at a broader scope, but our subject is sanctification. But you can't become a saint when you're a sinner. And in Adam, you're a sinner. And in Christ, you're a saint. In Adam, you're a sinner and can never be a saint. Listen to me now. And in Christ, you're a saint and never be a sinner. That doesn't mean you can't sin, but you can never be a sinner. Because in Adam, you're a sinner. In Christ, you're a saint. That's positional. That's positional. It's not how you behave. It's the position you did because you believed in Jesus Christ. The moment you believe that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and raised from the dead, He's going to move you from Adam. By the grace of God, you're going to be lifted up and moved out of position, theologically, from Adam to Christ. The grace of God does that. You didn't do anything to earn it. You didn't do anything to deserve it. God, in His marvelous grace, because you live in the church age, did it for you. If you're in Adam, you can't get out apart from Christ. If you're in Christ, you can't get out, period. You understand that? The only person that gets you out of in Adam is Christ. The last Adam is the only one that can resolve the problem of the first Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Now, the Greek word that is used for sanctification is the word hagiosmos, hagiosmos. And hagiosmos is made up of two things. Now, the suffix on the end of that is important because the first part of this word, it comes from hagios, it means to be holy or saint. The word saint is the same word as the same word in English. The word saint and holy are the same word in the Greek. And they're positional. Every person that believes in the gospel is positionally holy. Now, maybe not experientially, but he is positionally holy because of Christ. You're holy because of Christ. You're a son because of Christ. In Christ, there are a lot of things you are, not in your nature, but in His nature. And what you will never be in Christ is what you were in Adam. That's very important. But this word is made up of the word, in the Greek language, the word for holy or the word for saint. And then the suffix is mos. And the suffix on this word for sanctification, in the English, you got sanctify, you got sanctify, and then you got sanctification. You got the ion in the English. The saint on the front of it, sanctify in the front, saint or holy, and then the on the end of it tells you that something has occurred. All that was necessary to move you into this sanctification has been done for you, and we call it sanctification. In the Greek language, we added the MOS to mean that there was an action required under the principle of the divine decree of God. There was something that God required that He was capable of doing, He Himself and not you. Only He is capable to take the action necessary to cause sanctification to be for your life. You understand that? The MOS on the end of that word in the Greek language means that all the action necessary to remove you from Adam and to put you into Christ is an action that only God can do, and therefore we call it grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Ephesians 2:8, 9. That's the MOS. That's an MOS. Okay? And it is that process, that MOS on that is that process of moving us out of a position in Adam. Through the grace of God, because you believe the gospel, they died for your sins, was buried and raised from the dead. You believe that. By that, God, by His action, God will remove you from Adam and place you into Christ by Himself. You don't do any of that. Okay? This is the reason I like positional truth theologically over just sanctification. Because if you just study sanctification, you don't get where you've been moved from to Christ. You just get in Christ. The whole doctrine of sanctification is your life in Christ. Well, it's a very important doctrine. But for me, you need to know where you've come from to where you are and how you got there. Positional truth teaches it, because positional truth says you were in Adam, now you're in Christ. And sanctification in the Greek tells you that there was a process, that there was an action involved in that. Okay? And so it becomes a stronger doctrine for me, positional truth. When I heard it many years ago, I couldn't get my head around it too well, but many years ago when I heard it, I went, wow, that really makes sense to me. Because I'd theologically been trained in sanctification, and I always struggled with it. I wasn't able quite to put all the pieces together. Positional truth puts it all together. It just puts it in a nice, neat package that you can understand, in my opinion. I want to talk about three aspects today about this, based on our position in Adam to our position in Christ. The only way you can get out of Adam, all people are born in Adam. If you're a human being, you were born in Adam. Born in Adam means this, that you have one birth, you'll have two deaths. If you stay in Adam, you'll have one birth physical and two deaths spiritual. And the second death is a lake of fire. Revelation. And the only way you want to be in Christ, you don't want to leave this world apart from being in Christ. How do you get in Christ? You have to believe that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and raised from the dead third day. Listen to me now. If you believe it, by the grace of God, He removes you from a position in Adam and puts you into Christ, and that position is forever. Forever. You are sanctified positionally in salvation, in the Christian life, and eternity. That's sanctification. So, sanctification can be a very difficult doctrine to understand unless you get the big picture. And once you get the big picture, it's not as difficult to understand. You're either in Adam or in Christ. It's that simple as far as a theory of theology. So let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at this. Point number one. We will begin with an unbeliever's status in Adam. We all start out in Adam, one birth, two deaths. Everybody starts out with one birth and two deaths. And the only way out of Adam is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The moment you believe, the grace of God transfers you. Okay? That's very important. You understand it. Now watch this. On your piece of paper, look down there to Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 5 and 6. And he's speaking to the human race by concept. Now, of course, he's speaking to the church at Ephesus, but in concept. He says, even when we... That's all inclusive. Even when we were dead in our transgressions. Now, if you really want to know what Paul means by transgressions, you'd have to read the book of Romans. Because in the book of Romans, he goes into great details. And what he means by transgressions is what came from Adam. It means what our state of condition is in Adam. The transgressions means the violations of penalties that we're under. We call them in theology 13 judicial charges of Adam's original sin. Are you with me? When he says transgressions, when you read it out of Romans, the fifth chapter, he will go into explanations on that, and you will see that the transgressions that all men are under, what is the transgressions that we're all judicially charged with? Adam's sin. Adam's sin. We call it AOS, Adam's original sin. We all start out as a human being by natural birth in Adam. In Adam, you're under 13 judicial charges. 13, look, you are, listen to me now, listen, you are alien. It has nothing to do with your attitude or how you feel. You're in Adam. It's like being in a trunk. You understand? You're in a trunk. It don't matter how you feel. You're in a trunk. And it's locked. You can whine, cry. You ain't got the key. I don't care how you feel. Where are you? I'm in a trunk. Okay. You're in Adam. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It doesn't have you. You didn't get there. You were put there. It's positional. Now watch. In that trunk, in Adam, somebody else with a key, in Adam, you are alienated from God. You are alienated from God. You are separated from God in Adam. The only way you can be with God, you've got to be in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're with God. If you're in Adam, you're alienated from Him. That's what alienation is spiritually. Colossians 1, 21, 22. Listen, not only that, but you are blind. You are spiritually blind to the things of God. Spiritually blind. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. You are under the curse. Well, I didn't do anything. No, you didn't. This is judicially charged to Adam, and you're an Adam. The trunk you're in has been cursed. Therefore, are you in the trunk yet? Then you're cursed. You understand? I don't deserve it. Yeah, I know, but you're there because you're in the trunk. If you're in the trunk's cursed. You're cursed. Galatians 3, 10 through 13. So you're cursed. You're condemned. You are condemned in that trunk. You are condemned. Romans 8, 1 through 3. You're at enmity. You're in hostility. Not in your mind, not how you feel. I don't deserve to be in the trunk. I know, but you're there. You're there. See, at enmity. At enmity. Colossians 1, 21, 22. You're at enmity. You're called a natural man. That's a negative. See, most of us like that. I'm a natural man. I'll drink a natural wine. See? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a natural man. We're talking about an unbeliever who does not have the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. He's called a natural man. If you're a natural man, you're perishing, which is another thing that happens to you. The natural man is perishing, John 3, 16. Remember John 3, 16? Perishing, the Bible says. Perishing. You're a sinner. 1 Timothy 1:15. You're a sinner, not because you sin, because you're where? In the trunk. You're in the trunk. If you're in the trunk, if you're an Adam, you're a sinner. And 1 Timothy 1:15 says that Jesus Christ came into the world to save those in the trunk. The sinner. You're unrighteous. Romans 3:10. You're unrighteous. Not because of anything you've done. Because you're in the what? Trunk. You're in the trunk. You're in Adam. You're unrighteous. The only way you can be righteous is to be in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you're righteous. Has nothing to do with you. It has to do with Christ. You are in His trunk. You are in His righteousness. But if you're in Adam's trunk, you're in unrighteousness because of him. You're ungodly. Romans, the fifth chapter, you are ungodly. Has nothing to do with your attitude. Where are you?
I'm in the trunk. I'm in the trunk.
If you're in the trunk, you're ungodly. But if you're in Christ, then you're godly. If you're in Adam's trunk, you're under the wrath of God.
I didn't do anything.
Are you in the trunk? I'm in the trunk. Then you're under the wrath. Because these 13 judicial charges, John 3:36, these 13 judicial charges that I have just explained to you and give you Bible verses for, is in Adam, you're in the trunk. If you're in the trunk, you have all of those. It has nothing to do with how you feel, what you've done. It's nothing. Are you in the trunk?
I'm in the trunk.
Then, there you are. And the only way you can get out of that Adam, only way you can get out of that trunk is you've got to have a second birth. You've got to have a second birth. The second birth will take you from Adam to Christ. The second birth, you must be born again. You must believe that Jesus came and died for your sins. Why? To remove you from Adam, to put you in a position in Christ, a position that you have nothing to do to get into and can do nothing to get out of. For you are brought out of Adam into Christ by the grace of God. And that is a glorious thing for you. You are crowned with glory and honor because of that, because of the grace of God. And let me tell you, there's nobody here that's not one of these two, but you're in one of these trunks. There's not one person sitting in here that's either in the trunk of Adam or in the trunk of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. The only person that wasn't ever in Adam was the Lord Jesus Christ until he hung on the cross. And there he hung there so that we could get out of the trunk. He came into the world to save those in the trunk, 1 Timothy 1:15, to save those in Adam, to release them, redeem them, to reconcile them. What do they need to be reconciled? Because in Adam, they're at enmity, they're alienated, they're without God, they're hostile in their position, not necessarily in their attitude. You get any of that? Now here's very important doctrine. You're in Adam. Now watch this. This is very important. You're in Adam. Christ comes, is hung on a cross for those in Adam. Are you with me? 13 judicial charges. He hangs on a cross. Now listen to me. Retroactive positional truth. Retroactive positional truth says that everything in Adam, everything that we are in Adam, was transferred to Christ on the cross. He died for our sins. Everything in the trunk of us, we all have the 13, all of that was retroactively placed on him. Retroactive positional truth. All that was in Adam is taken out and placed on him on the cross. Are you with me? So that when he dies on the cross, there's nothing there in the... there's nothing. Anybody in the trunk? No, I'm on the cross! Anybody in the trunk? No, I'm on the cross! Anybody in Adam's trunk? No, I'm on the cross! Do you understand that? He died for our sins. He died in our place. What was our place? In Adam? Right here. Retroactive positional truth says that everything we were in Adam was put on him on the cross so that when we believe that he died in my place, was buried and raised from the dead, I get transferred from the cross to Christ. You can't get there. You can't jump from in Adam to Christ unless you go through the cross. The only way you get in Adam, the only way you get in Christ is you've got to understand that those in Adam have to go through the cross. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except through me. John 14:6. Retroactive positional truth teaches that that which was in Adam that had us condemned was placed on Christ. And if you'll come to the cross and believe that Jesus Christ resolved you from Adam and can transfer you into Christ, you can be saved. What are you saved from? 13 judicial charges. I'm no longer in the trunk. And it's called, in theology, we call that retroactive positional truth. That which was in Adam has been placed on Christ so that when you believe, you can be placed in Christ. It's placed on Christ to be placed in Christ. Are you with me? This is complicated theology. I'm talking to you and I'm trying to get it down Well, you could get wrap your brain around it like myself when I sat in a pew like you. Instead of trying to go over your head and try to tell you why I'm worthy of all the money you give me. And so we call that retroactive positional truth. From Adam, retroactively placed to the cross, and what is on the cross is able to put you into Christ. Because he gave his life for that. To get us out of Adam. And a good, you don't have to know all that to be saved. But now that you're saved, you do need to know all that. Because I hear people all the time say, well, I don't think God's going to send me to hell because I'm a pretty good dude. But listen, I bet you could put me up against most people in your church and that outshine them. Oh, no doubt about it. I could put you up against me and you'd outshine me. But let me tell you, that'll send you to hell quicker than anything. They know there's no glory in that you can live a better life than I can live. That ain't gonna get you anywhere. That won't put a dollar in your pants, let alone get you anything in heaven. You gotta compare yourself to Jesus Christ. Only listen, if you're gonna remain in Adam, it don't matter who you compare your life to. The only way out is to take a look at Jesus. Compare your life to Christ. Look what he did for you. Look what he did for you. Quit fussing. You come to Christ so you can get in Christ. 1 Timothy 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we were healed. Do you know that's past tense? I hear people quote that all the time as something present. That's a past tense. You know where you were? Right here. Right there. Right there on the cross. Right there. Let me tell you, that's where your healing is. Mary Beth knows it. That's where spiritual healing, or physical healing, or mental healing, that's where all healing takes place, is right there on the cross. Right there. It's past tense. It's because now you have a position in Christ that makes you worthy. First Peter 3:18 says, Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. Who's the unrighteous? Well, he's down here. He's in the trunk.
Let me out.
What do you have over here? Unrighteous in Adam. What do you have in Christ? Plus our absolute righteousness. How'd you get it? Grace. Did you earn it? Nope. Do you deserve it? Nope. Will you ever deserve it? Nope. It's a gift. It's a gift. Because he did all the work. You get the gift. Like dad goes to work, Christmas comes along, dad pays the bills, mama goes to work, pays the bills, kid gets a gift. Somebody paid the price. Somebody paid the bill.
This concludes part A. Please select part B to continue.